Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Front Runner Podcast. I am your host, Isaiah Marshall. Today, we have a front runner joining us, my brother, N'Jerry Hot Hands Camphor. This is part one of our two-part discussion. In this episode, we'll be talking about navigating challenges, enduring relationships, fatherhood, faith, and art, and more. Here is Front Runner. Episode 12. Praise the Lord. My name is Isaiah Marshall, and you are listening to Front Runner, my podcast, where I will be interviewing friends who are front runners, the underdogs who dare to take risks, who bet on themselves, who run their own race, who run to win. They lead their lives from the front, and as they say in track and field, they leave it all on the track. Let's go. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Front Runner Podcast. I am your host, Isaiah Marshall. And today we have a very, very special guest with us. We have my friend. He's from Atlanta, the A.
ATL East Side.
Yes, sir. He's a husband, a father, an artist. We have a front runner with us, N'Jerry Camphor, AKA Hot Hands. How you doing?
Hey, N'Jerry, Hot Hands Camphor. That's right. Oh man, I'm doing well enough that I can say on a podcast platform. Hey, I'm trying to think this through. Let me just give somebody an idea. You know what I'm saying? I've drunk a lot of chocolate milk this morning and a lot of beet and ginger root and all that. So
hey, healthy.
Yeah, but for those who know, you can use your imagination how I might be feeling.
Funny, yeah. Man. But hey, man, I appreciate you joining me in this podcast, man.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, I was really hoping for a feature, you know what I'm saying, on a poetry album or something, but I guess this will have to do.
Hey, yeah, we definitely, I'm definitely had to connect with you because there's right some on. Things that I'm kind of thinking through, and I'm like, man, how can I invite others into, you know, expression, this,
yeah. You know, as the young people say, I am in the pursuit of clout chasing. So that is why I want to be so close to you.
Cause you try to make me blush, bro.
I want to ride off your coattail.
Right, I appreciate that.
I
want
to be the forerunner in this aspect.
Man, yeah, I appreciate you. Yeah, indeed. So man, the concept of this whole front runner idea, man, is just from my experience at track and field. And you think about track and field has taught me a lot of life lessons. And so this concept of front runner, because I was a front runner in track and field. And so the front runner is an overcomer. Mm-hmm. In track and field, they are the underdog because the odds are against them. Mm-hmm. And they're not expected to win the race. The front runner is one who takes risk. They bet on themselves. They run their race. They run to win. They lead their lives from the front. Mm. As they say in track and field, they leave it all on the track, man. And I, you know, from our relationship, I see you as a front runner, man. It's just, you know, your love for the Lord, the way you connect with people, the things that you had to overcome. And I see you as a front runner. And so I invite those friends who I see as front runners on the podcast to kind of share their story to edify, you know, the listeners. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be blessed today.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate being brought on after your interview with Kanye. So I think this is a good place for me to go ahead and try to still build some momentum. I can't follow that, but
hey, you can hold your own, bro. You can hold your own.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. Yeah, but Hot Hands Camphor, man, from East Atlanta. Born in Mississippi. I'm the youngest of five. Moved to Atlanta when I was three. Mom Duke, she's from Atlanta. West Side. Cascade.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, a lot of my story has been marked with difficulty, adversity, in a lot of ways. I don't want to say at every turn. My mom, she is very savvy. And man, dope thing, I don't know if I was able to share this with you, but yeah, my mom, she was just able to go and kick it with Jesus full time, bro. A couple months ago, just last month, actually, this time last month.
My condolences, bro. And,
or my congratulations. I appreciate it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yes, sir.
So, for me, Mom Dukes has been literally demonstrating the gospel in front of us. I won't even say the gospel. Let me say this. Her relationship with Jesus. she's been demonstrating her relationship with Jesus to us in front of us. She has been showing us how what that dependency looks like. So I didn't really understand a lot of the, you know, churchianity type stuff.
Yeah.
Doctrinal stuff. All I knew was hold on to Jesus, cling on to Jesus, cry out to Jesus. It's expectancy of Jesus to show up, to make it happen. So that's the Jesus I came to learn about. I don't really know what these other folks on. So I'm not much of a cultural Christian. I'm one of those believers that I'm like, I need Jesus to show up. Or I need somebody to be able to connect the dots for me that this was God's hand involved, and then I'll trust him, and then I'll believe him. And so there's common graces that have been extended to me. I mean, my athletic ability. I love to learn. I'm a student, forever student. Love reading, love jokes, love writing, comedy, drama. I'm a thespian of sorts. And I love art. I love art only not because it's weird, but because art does a good job of educating people in a way that would turn others off. A lot of people want information just given to them, such as me. Like, I love formal learning. I'm the type of person, I open up a package and I read the instructions because I'm like, well, I shouldn't want to try to experientially figure this out.
Yeah, that's definitely not everybody. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those people are idiots. So shout out to you guys and how you struggle in life. You know what I'm saying? But I say that to say there's a level of formal learning I would have loved to have had. However, when you're living experientially and learning at the same time, the reason why I don't think that's the best is because it's challenging to try to process while you're trying to survive. You gotta somehow take some time to have someone articulate to you what your life looks like, just so you can be like, huh, oh wow, that's messed up. So I'm the youngest of five, so when I get to Atlanta, I'm playing sports, and kind of immediately my mom, she has this trust and faith and hope in people working in community. And so the way in which I was able to be raised, as well as my siblings, we were raised in community with other community leaders who served as father figures, mentors, big sisters, big cousins, second moms of that sort. And so and because I'm the youngest of five, I've been afforded the opportunity to watch others mess up, i.e. my sibling. So although I've been a forerunner in this metaphorical concept, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
legitimately, I got to watch my brothers and sisters do some dumb stuff. I was just like, I'm straight on that. I'm cool. We grew up in a very pro-Black household. So all of our names are Swahili. And this is, you know, in the 70s, strong pro-Black presence, really across the country. And so, yeah, all of us got Swahili names. All five of us. You want the name? Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can do this. Somebody look at my family.
I got you. If you're comfortable with doing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, don't y'all be looking my people up, man. Adumu Okawari, Kitwana Baruti, Ikem Jadafo, Aisha and Soki Jindaye, and me and Jerry Tawande. And we pray against identity theft. We pray against that. So anyway,
amen.
Now, so all of us had those names to pretty much attach our heritage to us day in and day out. So there's no way that we can run from it. Ain't no, you got the white man's name, brother. You know what I'm saying? It really helped us identify and stake our mark and our point of reference for where our story is. In America, living in the States, and how we're going to get to where God desires for us to be. But primarily, how do we get to a place where our mom, since she's the one that's guiding us, how do we get to that place? So for me, man, I dove into sports. I was excellent in baseball, basketball, football. My first sport was golf when I made it to Atlanta. Before I moved to Atlanta, I mean, I had a baseball bat in my hand, had my own ball, throwing it up, hitting it. So I didn't even need the ball. But so I'm a bit of a kinesthetic learner.
Okay.
All I can say, go.
I was gonna say, let me ask you. I know you said You know, your life was marked with challenges.
Oh, yeah.
And so what were some of those challenges? And I know you mentioned about how, you know, as a young man, how sports, you know, was important to you. So what were the challenges that you experienced, and what place did athletics play in kind of helping you through those challenges?
I try to understand the concept when people say how sports is an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
So one, let me kind of start there. Sports is an outlet. It provided another realm to learn, a realm to grow, a realm in which I could gauge my growth, my comprehension, my determination, you know what I'm saying? It was a lot. And I feel like when you're in school, you're kind of gauged and you're graded and evaluated based off your comprehension and retention, mm-hmm. and how you're able to get their answers right. Sports, you can get it right in multiple ways, a lot of ways. It's like, hey, if you got it right during this one race, do it again, see if it worked. Yes, and sir. So you kind of figure it out as you're going along. So you're always trying to improve. And so one, for me, sports, it was an outlet in the sense of not that it kept me out of trouble with because I was still doing some stuff, doing some dirt while I was playing. If anything, sports made me a lot better at getting in some dirt and then getting out of it. Fences and hiding in the car.
Wow. Those athletic abilities came in handy in some way.
Yeah. You can't do that sitting in the couch playing video games all day.
No, sir. But that's it seems like nowadays that's what the young people are doing more so of is the video games and all that.
And they can anyway. I ain't gonna go deep into that one.
I'm gonna stay
on script. But so yeah, man, sports served as an opportunity for me to also showcase how my attributes complemented someone else's. And to me, that's the other part about team and community. I don't know, man. I really don't know what to say outside of the community and unity aspect is something that was hammered in our family as our foundational principles forever, especially in the Black community. But very little people exercise that. Very little people actually demonstrate that and implement that and execute that. Sports told me and taught me it has to happen, even in golf. Like, yeah, you're the individual that's competing at that match.
Yeah.
But it is a team of people that are helping you. So, you know, it's the swing coach and it's the golf pro and it's somebody else. They are the team that's pushing you forward. You may not be acting in a team in a team fashion, but they are. They're coming together and they're compiling their experience, their expertise. So anyway, I'm the benefit of team efforts gone well. And so there have been some challenges with there were certain men that weren't trying to chisel me and polish me well as a young Black man. They didn't know how, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so for them cats, you know, we finna have some conversation now that I'm grown, like I ain't 12 years old no more, bro. You know what I mean? I'm not 8 years old anymore. So, but there's some unfortunate opportunities with that. But I mean, the obstacles, as you're saying, but those things, they happen. And so I've overcome those obstacles. Because I had a great mentor, my pop, Coach Sims. He's coached me from the age of, 5, 6 years old all the way till high school. Wow. And so even parting ways with him to go into my high school coach was very much like, you know what I'm saying, Charlie on Mighty Ducks. You know what I'm saying? When he wanted Coach Bombay to coach the high school team too. And so I've learned that, hey, here's the passing of the baton. It's okay to comfortably grow under my care, but now you're going to have to meet some tension and you're going to have to meet some friction with somebody who may not understand you, but you still got to find out how to grow. I found that to be very beneficial for me because there's not a lot of people in this world who want you to succeed. It's not that they're anti against you. They're just not in favor of you. It's not their business. It's not their ambition, nor their responsibility to ensure your growth. Even in Christian circles, jokers don't care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that, when you say they're not anti against you, it's just that they probably just don't. I mean, it's like out of sight, out of mind. Like that's not something that they're focusing on. Like you're not something that they focus on. They're only focused on themselves, the individuality of our culture, right? Individualism.
And see, I think you let them get off the hook when you say in our culture. I'm like, for believers, it's in the faith. Like, there are rights and wrongs to this jump. Same way in sports. There are rights to wrong. If you in somebody else's lane, you're disqualified. You get DQ'd or you get a foul.
That's facts, yeah.
In Christianity, oh, there's grace. It's okay. You get it wrong. We all get it wrong. Hey, man, we know that. But you got to tighten up nonetheless.
And there's some accountability for sure. Yeah.
It's funny. I guess that's the word for it, man. I guess the word is accountability. The reason why I don't use that word accountability much, because in my life, like, my dad demonstrated a life without accountability. I grew up in environments where there is no accountability. Mm. You can only hold someone accountable to a standard they agree to. So if they don't agree to the standard, you can't hold them accountable. So that's more so why I kind of use the word confrontation and conflict. So to confront an issue, because that way we can investigate whose standard you're living off of, that you're living by.
Yeah.
Some people like to raise their own standard as, hey, this is my standard. This is, you know, and I'm the authority of this matter. So therefore, you got to conform to what I got going on. And you probably ain't nobody worry about you, man. You know what I mean? So, and the best way to bridge that gap is through relationship. So I'm stating a lot of this in a roundabout way, or as I like to bring it back full circle, because all these elements have been present in my life, even in my spiritual development. As I was a dude in the hood, East Atlanta, grew up a skeptic, not sure about what was true religiously and the Bible and all of that. To where I started reading it by myself, for myself. Them youth groups were corny than a mug. There was nothing but behavior modification programs. And I was like, I'm straight on that.
It was like rules. It was rules based.
Rules is a good way of putting it. It was manipulation, bro. It's manipulation because you got all these hood kids out here, you know what I'm saying? You don't know their parents. You ain't never seen a dad, so it's just like, hey, well, when you in this building, you're going to respond by my rules. But it's like, well, what if I ain't in your building? I'm across the street from you. Now what you going to say?
Yeah.
You can't say nothing. Why? Because there's no accountability now. Because there's no standard. I exist outside of your standard, so what you going to do?
Wow.
And see, relationship can cross those boundaries. Relationship can cross those institutions.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
So for sure.
You say, forget you, youth pastor. We catch you outside when you got to go to your car. Keep talking in. You know what I'm saying? But remember what neighborhood you in. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So it goes back to relationships, because I think that's a theme that you've been highlighting, relationships. Even talking about the relationship with your mom and how she modeled those things. So one of the things that you said that sports allowed you to see how your attributes complemented others. So a lot of ways, I mean, you think about how just innately, like, we just desire somewhere to belong, just like a community to belong, to be a part of, and to feel like we're valued amongst that community.
Hey.
And when I hear how, you know, the idea of my attributes complementing others, how I have something of value I could bring to this community or this team, and it allows you to see that. And so how, like, does that still resonate with you now, even outside of sports? You know what I mean? It's like,
yes. That's why people jump ship, man, because they don't feel like they value.
Mm.
And then they have this idea in their head that, hey, I want to be valued the way someone else is being valued. I want that recognition, that notoriety, you know what I mean? And if I'm not getting that, then I'm gone.
Wow.
I can agree with that, and I can at the same time be like, well, you know, come on, bro. So
yeah.
I can agree and disagree in a sense of I'm very much like that. I've left ministry opportunities because I didn't feel value. Mm. I'm like, hold on, y'all don't see all the work I'm putting in, but y'all treat me like I'm less than, like I just got started 2 weeks ago? Hey, man, stop. I've been here for 3+ years. You know what I'm talking about? You better watch how you talk to me. You know what I mean? So, it's a very real thing, but this idea of community, and we talk about relationship, it has to be enduring relationships. Like, relationships meaning like, hey, I'm not finna quit on you. And to me, the gospel helps us understand that concept of someone being faithful, not giving up on us, even when it's difficult, challenging, and tough.
Yeah, and, man.
Cats is soft, bro. I'm going to just straight up say it. A lot of these folks, I would not hang out with them in school. They wouldn't last long in my neighborhood. They would stay inside. Let me say it like that. Mm. They don't want to be out here with people that's willing to call you out and how stupid you look and like how ridiculous you acting. Oh, you so, you know, you want everything your way. Hey, man, it's 9 of us out here. You can't shoot the ball all the time, bro. Mm. You know what I'm saying? If we playing 21, you want to do all this dribbling, man, we got 20 minutes of sunlight. Shoot the ball. You know what I'm saying? So this idea of like you wanting things your way, that only happens when you're in a confined environment. Mm-hmm. And when you keep other factors out, you know what I mean? Yeah, and yeah, a lot of ways, that's sometimes in churches, it be like that, you know what I mean? And as you're saying, even today, so do those things reflect in my day in life today? Yes, they do. Unfortunately, they do. Mm-hmm. I'm not one, I'm quite the anti-conformist in a sense of I know how to make people feel comfortable, you know what I'm saying, by wearing nice clothes, form-fitting this and the trendiest stuff. I'm like, man, it's stupid to pay $60 for a t-shirt. You're like an idiot paying that much. You know what I'm saying? So no, I'm not finna buy them t-shirts. You know what I mean? It's crazy to pay $50 for a haircut. I'm not with it. You know what I mean? So to present yourself in a certain way that shows other people, hey, I'm approachable. Look at my jeans. Look at my coat. Look at my swag, my drip. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, don't take all that. So yeah, what I'm going to do, I'm going to approach you with a smile, with love. I'm going to remember your name. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be concerned about the things you're concerned about. Like, I'm going to be interested in who you are. Again, I was joking about that earlier, Philippians 2. So, like, those are things I'm going to do to try to create community. While other people, especially like the young adult spaces, it's like when you get to a city, or I'm guessing like for me, I've lived in different cities that I've not grown up in. So I'm building relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm coming into a scene and I'm observing and watching how people are connecting. So you'll hear a lot of people talk about how in churches they can be very clicky, which means and very partial, only sticking to the people they've been in relationship with for 6 to 10 plus years. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm really trying to find out where that's at biblically, where that's cool. I don't know where that's cool. But anyway, I'm not going to go too deep in that. But the idea is, if you're not expanding your capacity for relationships, let's just say you can only have capacity for 5 people. I think different people got different capacities. And I think different tests and ideograms and all that. I think it does a disservice to people more than it does a service, only because people ain't that thoughtful. Like they don't see things through that far to where, anyway, they don't really look to the depths of what these personalities tests are saying. So again, I think they are good tools, but I think people blindly follow them like they do horoscopes in a sense of saying, hey, this is all of who I am and this is the capacity of who I can be. And these things are saying that. It's more like, no, this is kind of showing you some of your tendencies that you would find out if you were in community with people.
Yeah. Or you should. You know what I mean? You should find out.
But that's what I'm saying. So these things to me are for like some socially awkward people who have trust issues, who can't trust when someone else is telling them something good. But if you take an ideogram, personality test, spiritual growth, all that, you feel like that's a more credible source because it's quote unquote, you know what I'm saying? It's objective and non-biased. I'm like, whatever. So sorry, I'll say that. Go. Direct this thing.
Good. Do you think, so it sounds like you're very intentional about how you make yourself approachable and how you build community with other people. Do you think the type of, you know, that type of idea or that type of thing that you do in building relationships and building community or being intentional about that, was that something modeled by your mom?
Yeah, bro. My mama, she loved gay folks, bro. My mama, she loved internationals, refugees. She loved crazy white girls that's going through it in the middle of Target. You know what I mean? Like, she loving on people on the side of the road. Hey, you need jumper cables. Like, she's very kind and, you know, and a little bit sassy to some people that's doing her wrong in the middle of Dillard's, you know what I'm saying? Or Neiman's Marcus, and like, you know, police officers.
Yeah.
She, man, that's how I know my mom's relationship with Jesus is real.
Wow.
Because of the strength it takes to act kind toward people.
Yeah.
To be able to, again, after blow after blow after blow after, you know, being treated like, you know, less than because you're a woman or because you're a black woman or because you a woman with all these kids. Where's your husband? Like, you know, she say cool. But so I've watched my mom, man, really galvanize so many people that were not alike, that otherwise wouldn't know each other. Mm-hmm. And then rally, they help them rally around the cause, whether it's youth sports or fundraising for a band booster or and whatever it might be. I mean, yeah. So my mom, she definitely demonstrated that well of what it looks like, what it takes to commit to relationships.
Yes, sir.
And not to just hold them so flippantly as if they're easily disposable. You know what I mean? And so I've seen people travel far and wide to come kick it with my mom that they haven't seen in 8 years. And here's the other point of that is like, it's not even everybody has, you know, sure, college friends, but it's like, are you able to be friends with your college friends, hometown friends? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know these folks. But so my mom, that's how she was. She could go in an environment where she wasn't invited. She's not welcome. But at the same time, stay there and meet friends. My sister, she lives in Dubai. And she was telling at my mom's memorial about a time where my sister was meeting my mom in Thailand for a trip. Mm-hmm. My sister came in, says, hey, Ma, I got to go back to Dubai for a couple of days, whatever, or whatever it was. My mom was there for a day and a half. She don't know Cantonese or whatever they speak in Thailand, right? Mm-hmm. My sister come back. My mom got like 6-7 friends. You know what I'm saying? They know her name, Alicia. My mama know how to say their name and their language, but that's all she know how to say. You know what I mean? And
that's
so
amazing, yeah.
my sister, she marvels at like how this happens. So my mom is courageous, man. She was risky. She wasn't scared. She went no punk. And that's because of the faith that she had in Jesus.
Wow.
She's aware of all the risks, but for that's sure. What it is. It's knowing the risk, but still doing the good thing anyway, doing the thing that's vital, that's necessary, that's valuable. And that's how I learned it. And I learned that in our context, not in a safe environment, but actually being out there where danger and risk lives, wow. It's present.
So you learn risk being out there where the danger and the risk and all that stuff was present.
That's all you want in reality. You can fight all you want in the dojo studio, karate, all that, Cobb McGraw. You ain't gonna find out to you if it worked till you get in the street brawl until you're in a bar somewhere.
Wow.
Like, let's see how all these holes and stuff work. So yes, yeah, sir. Same way, you can learn about compassion, kindness, serving people in the confines of a church.
Wow.
But if you ain't out there with people who ain't here for none of that, yeah, let's see if your kindness works. Let's see what them Devos hitting like.
I heard somebody say, he was like a business person. He was saying how he's challenged by the idea of like charities, because he was like, man, because a lot of people he hear talking about charities are not very charitable. And I'm like, man, that's a bar. I'm like, that's interesting, right? It's like we develop these charities, but like we ourselves, if we look at our lives, it's like, how charitable are we?
Not at all.
You know what I mean? How much are we investing in other things as compared to us often asking people to invest in us or something that we're doing? Like, how invested are we?
Yeah, because people don't give the people anymore. They give the causes and programs, showing you why they're lame, because they're scared to go and talk to a person. They're scared to assess someone else's needs because that takes too much time.
Yeah.
It takes too much energy.
Man, that's a good word, man. And I appreciate you sharing that. But, bro, we hit our 30-minute mark, and we're going to pause our discussion right here and pick it up with the part two next time. And I look forward to part two of our discussion, because we're going to get deeper. And as we get deeper, listen at your own risk, because you will be challenged, you will be encouraged, and you will be empowered. Follow the Front Runner Podcast and share with a friend. Also, follow me on Instagram at @TheIsaiahMarshall. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, which can be found in the show notes. And while you are at it, be sure to check out all of my released spoken word poetry projects anywhere you stream music. Thank you for supporting my creative journey. This is the Front Runner Podcast. Until next time, blessings.
I take my risks. That's why I beat the odds. Beat the odds. I'm running. I'm out front running. Oh yeah. Front running. I'm out front running. I run with him. That's why I run with him. Run with him. No looking back. I leave it on the track. I'm out front running.